Hi, I'm Alex.
And I'm Tom. And on this episode of Flash in the Pan, grab your helmet and your rifle, because it's time to wade back into the console wars. We grew up in a world of online animation, and we're digging you out for your consideration. Bringing you the tunes that made us who we are. Flash in the Pan. Flash in the Pan. Hi, and welcome to another edition of Flash in the Pan.
Welcome back.
This is the podcast which drags you kicking and screaming back, inevitably toward the past that you may have forgotten, but we didn't. We know what you've seen, we know what you've done, and also there are some cartoons we're going to watch.
Yeah, there are cartoons.
How are you doing, Alex?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, I am okay also, except that I am ill and just woke up from a nap.
Well...
But I'm raring to go.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah, so this is Flash in the Pan. We are a podcast who talk about old Flash animations and other associated internet history stuff. You can find all of the episodes we're going to talk about, as well as previous installations, at our website, flashinthepancast.com, where you'll also find links to all the tunes, etc., etc. Speaking of tunes, we've only got a couple for you today, but they are two interesting and meaty bites of some Flash...
history.
History, yes.
Yes, well, they're all part of Flash history.
They're from the past, that's
true. They're from the past, therefore they are somewhat historical.
You know what? I can't argue with you.
No, you can't, because what I've said is just a fucking blanket statement.
Get Mary Beard on the phone, because this is officially a history podcast now. Mary Beard, if you're listening, big fan, please write in. Anyway, our first cartoon is going to be a strange one, as we take you back to the maelstrom of 2006 and the experience that is Squaresville. Before we start, we should say that there are definitely some flashy lights in this, so if that's a thing that messes you up, then be warned. And we're back.
Yes, we are.
What on earth was that?
I don't know. Do you know what this kind of reminds me of a little bit? Did you ever see The External World by David O'Reilly?
Yes. Yes, I did.
This kind of reminds me of that, except this makes me less sad afterwards.
Entirely fair. This is an anthology, but all by the same people.
Yes.
Of little skits and strange images and ideas. And some of them are funny, and some of them are just strange, and a couple of them are kind of frightening. And they all concern the citizens of Squaresville, who are cubes and rectangles and so on.
Various squares of various sizes.
Yeah.
So this is by Nathan Malone?
Yes.
Right, okay. So Nathan Malone, of course, Post Malone's father.
It's pretty distressing that we now live in a Post Malone world.
Also, all the music appears to have been ripped directly from a haunted Nintendo 64 cartridge.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, the music's by Mentally Detached. And I didn't do a deep dive into their what their deal is, but they did some really good work on this.
Yeah.
There are a lot of tunes that are based entirely on just vocal samples, like and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it is delightful. And also weird, but it fits. I know. I think this has got a really consistent mood, which I really like.
Yeah, no, it's very consistent with itself.
It is, yeah. It feels like a statement. Mm. It feels like an artistic statement.
Which is probably why it reminds me a bit of The External World.
Yeah, so do you want to talk a bit about The External World?
Yeah, so The External World was... Oh, God, when did that come out? Like 2009-ish? Somewhere around there? It's an old... So David O'Reilly, you probably have experienced his work at one point or another, maybe unknowingly. He made Mountain, which was an iOS game, Android game, and then it was on Steam, where you have a mountain.
You are a mountain.
You are a mountain, and different things happen. to the mountain, and it caused, I remember it caused kind of a ripple because people were like, it's not a game.
Mm.
But then it's like, well, what do you classify as a game?
And that ancient leaky can of worms was opened yet again.
Yes, it was. He also made the game Everything, which yes. A lot of different people have played. It's now out on the Switch, and it's just a really kind of cool, again, it's like just kind of like a cool like experience. It's definitely more gamey than Mountain is.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it's just kind of like a cool experience. So, David O'Reilly also made probably my favorite episode of Adventure Time.
Yes, the one where, is it Marceline? Is eating her own hair?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
That's the one.
Okay, so if you haven't watched the particular cartoon yet, then yes, it does remind Alex of an episode of Adventure Time where one of the characters is eating her own hair.
Yes.
Just as a little baseline.
But David O'Reilly, before he did all that stuff, he made something called The External World, which I actually first saw at 2012, so maybe just after it was released, during the Annecy Film Festival in France.
Ooh.
So I think I may have been one of the first few people to maybe have seen it. And I remember I actually came back and like remembered it and like showed it to a bunch of different people. Met with very different reactions of what the fuck, and I kind of love this.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as we'll see from the comments, this garnered similar kind of responses. Because this is really experimental.
It really is.
And especially compared to some of the creators' other works, it's particularly just gleefully odd.
Okay.
And there are so many fun little ideas in here. Some of my favourite bits are like when you just have the three rectangles just having a little sing.
Yeah.
And then the fourth one pops up and he's talking about, behold now, beer moth. And like he does this like great little eldritch speech, and then it cuts over to beer moth, who is a gigantic red cube who makes some kind of
horrid, awful noise.
Yeah, who makes this unanimal noise and disintegrates the sign that says beer moth.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are lots of little moments like that, which I really enjoyed. I also like that a lot of the time you just get just a neat visual thing. Like some weird tentacles will sprout and then like wiggle away. It's neat.
Yeah, it's really just... I don't really think we've covered anything like it before.
Nothing this experimental, no. Which is why I was excited to do it, because it's always good to break new ground.
Yeah. Yeah. Just got that. Damn it.
So did you have a favourite bit?
The behemoth bit was quite good.
It was delightful.
I quite liked that part. Maybe the one part that is sticking in my head like a thorn is the bit where there is a cube running with a sign that says pools closed.
Oh yeah, that was only for like 2 seconds on screen.
But I was like, oh my god,
we'll get back to this.
Yeah, okay.
I wrote down a lot of just things I noticed.
All right.
Like, I like that we start with grape problems. In that, it's a cool red square roller skating into town.
Yeah.
But then trips and breaks his skates. And
the wheel lands in
the wheel lands in the thing of grapes. And another person complains that the grape is actually a small wheel. And the grocer just starts shrieking incoherently.
Yeah, I have no idea what he says.
While his face just contorts into 100 different
things. Yeah, it's like a different face every frame.
Almost, yeah.
Which is...
like this must have taken like
a long time.
A lot of work, because there's a lot of frame-by-frame animation stuff. Yeah. There are a lot of stylistic shifts and tonal shifts.
Also, the sound design's really, really good.
The sound design is very good. Like you can tell that this was like a real passion project.
Yeah.
What else? There's the young square practicing guitar.
Yes. I love that part as well. Part of why it tickled me was because the yellow square screaming into the microphone looked a bit like Harvey Birdman.
um, Sure, yes, good.
Yeah,
I think the most hashtag relatable content was the cube, the square working retail.
Yes.
At Squares Are We.
Yeah. And she draws someone's evil castle of bad things or yes. something.
And it turns out that the occupants of the castle, this great Dr. Frankenstein type, is like, Igor, throw the switch and bring my creation to life. But the creation's like already been alive for like an hour. The retail section also contained one of my favorite bits, which is, I would like to return this microwave. I put a potato in the microwave and it turned into this. And it's this strange potato creature.
I would like to return the microwave and the potato.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, also there's a bit where we have like a Venom symbiote.
Yeah, what was up with that?
There's like this cool tentacle spider thing that emerges out of this greasy stain on the wall, and it basically infects a passerby who also turns into a spider thing and follows its sire into the stain, but then it pulls back and reveals that this black smear on the wall is actually a black smear on somebody's cheek.
And they're just kind of looking at it like, what the fuck just happened on my face?
It's so like that. It's gross, but in a neat way.
Yeah, definitely.
The last thing I got written down here is there's a war at the end. There's an invasion of the Rhombus people who are rhomboids, tanks.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And there are like air raid sirens going off and all that. But it turns out it just cuts to a black screen with white text and it says that luckily the rhombus was defeated by their one weakness, carbohydrates.
That part reminded me a lot of, I think it happens in Monty Python and the Holy Grail during the animated sequence where it's like, we ran out of animation budget.
Oh no, it's suddenly the animator suffered a fatal heart attack.
Oh yeah.
This is cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
It's neat. This is the kind of thing that you might see at like a student film presentation.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
In that it showcases a lot of just skills.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, there's really good sound design. The timing is really good.
Yeah.
Like everything feels quite tight. There's very little dead air. And what dead air there is filled with more strange psychedelic imagery.
It's also very stylized as well. There are very striking parts, like the bit where Ashley goes to the evil castle of bad things.
Oh,
but then
yeah.
It's like you've got like this cool like shadow, and then like all these like different like shades of blue, which are like all kind of like put on top of each other to create the idea that he's like standing behind a desk or something.
Mm, yeah,
and it but to kind of say like, well, it's like he's doing that by like it's dark in the room. It's just really, that part just looked really cool.
It does,
It kind of reminded me a bit of the kind of the way that Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends was styled.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I don't know who it was that did most of the animation for Foster's Home.
Was that Craig McCracken? Or was that a Lauren Faust gig?
I think it might have been Lauren Faust.
I forget.
Maybe. Anyway, remind me.
Someone's going to email it and tell us. But please do, because Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends was a delightful cartoon.
It was so good.
Yeah. It's hot in Topeka.
Yeah.
And also there's voice acting, and the voice acting is largely pretty good.
Yeah, it's alright. The sound quality's not bad either.
The lip syncing is good, which is rare for a Flash animation.
this
displays, the people who made this, like, they cared about this project.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, you can tell they took pride in what they were making.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool.
Mm.
When this came out in 2006, you would have been about 16.
Yeah.
What would your reaction to this have been when you were an impressionable teen?
When I was 16, my reaction to this probably would have been a bit the same as it was now. It's like, wow, that was weird, but in a cool kind of way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think part of me would have been like, what? Like, I don't understand. Like, there isn't enough coherent stuff going on.
Yeah.
Terrible feeling that I might have been repelled by it in some way.
Oh, okay.
Just cause of the kind of stuff that I would watch at, you know, on Newgrounds and so on as a teen.
Sure, yeah.
And this is markedly different from a large part of it. Or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe I would have been absolutely fascinated by it. Maybe I would have been like, oh, this is amazing, and then watched it you know, 20 times a week.
Well, at about 16, like, I was just about getting into, like, art school, so...
Oh, okay.
I was, like, kind of, like, starting to kind of, like, try and appreciate more abstract things back then. I think it probably could have gone either way. I think I would have been like, wow, that's pretty cool. It's kind of weird, but it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Either that, or I'd have been like, what the fuck was that? And then just kind of gone on with my day.
I like, just imagine, yeah. like you as a spotty teen, like, this belongs in the Guggenheim.
I didn't even know what the Guggenheim was.
So I've done a little bit of research, which means that it might be time for us to step into a nice warm bath of flash. So the most of the research I've done has concerned the two main people behind the animation.
Mm-hmm.
The main part of the animation was done by Zeke Spacey Lizard.
Okay.
AKA Mr. Malone.
Okay, yeah.
Who at the time would have been about 20.
Okay.
Making this.
Right.
So which fits with idea of maybe it being like a student thing.
Yeah, definitely.
He's from Florida, describes himself as a talentless hack on the Newgrounds page, but that Newgrounds page has been dormant since 2010.
Okay.
And there is a redirect to his, what I believe is his current site, which is weirdurl.com, which lists him as an animator at Weeble Stuff.
Okay.
And there are a couple of Weeble-related flashes in his Newgrounds gallery
and
stuff.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah.
But that's not the last thing. So the main site is one of those really cool old Flash animated websites.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
like things are laid out fairly consistently, but also there's just a lot of random gubbins going on in the background.
I wish websites still look like this.
I honestly do too.
Yeah.
Squarespace, where is my 2009 era Flash portfolio site design option?
I want an audio player that auto plays a song of my choice and you can't turn it off.
Well, Tumblr had that for the longest time.
That's true, yes.
But one thing I did find is Nathan Malone's blog, which is interesting in that it's been sparsely updated for the past few years. The last post I could find is from May of 2017, so a year and a half ago.
That's pretty recent.
But if you scroll through it, you get an interesting story of... basically like an occasionally struggling artist and animator who a couple of years ago was talking about just having an unlucky year in work and life and talking about getting offers for animation work from people that he doesn't necessarily want to work for,
right.
But he wants to make it as an animator and like weighing up those options and like there are, and like it's at one point, he talks about like only making $1,500 from his work in a whole year, and that kind of thing.
Right.
In 2016, he made a really fucking cool short film called Decoupling, which is it's just really nice to watch and really fun to look at. It's only a minute and a half, so you should track it down if you can because it's rad.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great, and it sounds like he had a whole success on like the short film circuit with it.
Well, that's good.
And most recently, he spent time working for Double Fine.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
As one of the animation team on the remaster of Full Throttle.
Nice.
Which is a game that I still haven't played. I know I need to play Full Throttle because I hear it's really fun.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
That's neat.
Yeah, and he's still doing a lot of artwork and just strange visions and all that kind of stuff.
I very relate to trying to getting offers from places to do like work for places where you maybe don't want to work but you want to make it.
Yeah.
I have more than once looked at a job posting for like video editor at Lad Bible,
ooh.
And I've been like, it probably pays well and it'll be editing work, but. Fuck if I want to do it.
Yeah, I'm building the portfolio TM and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
no, he is still making stuff, including a lot of like short jokey things on YouTube.
Okay,
including a video made just 2 days ago.
Oh,
on January 19th. So the other half is WPS. WPS is a Dutch animator who would have been, 16 maybe.
Right.
when this was originally made, mm-hmm. when the cartoon we're talking about
yeah.
was made.
Yeah.
And they have been very active still. They've been doing a lot of not just animation. Their animation style is really like genuinely grotesque.
I can see that.
And like and like creatively ugly and yeah. horrible and just gross. And they also have a lot of and increasingly they've been putting more and more stop motion animation and models into right. their work.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Which I say as a prelude to what they're currently working on, which is something called Savage Death Valley, which is a sort of a 1 million years BC caveman fantasy adventure with like animated cave people and like stop motion environments and monsters and that kind of stuff. And it looks like really neat.
Yeah, it does. Wow.
It kind of reminds me of some of the weird shorts that would be part of the old Action League Now. That's right, which was part of Kablam. That's right.
That's it.
It reminds me of some yeah. of the segments of Kablam, like Action League Now, and so on, where it's this great, strange, unique look and mood.
Yeah.
That he's been cultivating for a while.
Yeah.
And that's peppered with like a semi-active Twitter account, which is mostly interesting animations and pictures, and just like being just kind of misanthropic tweets and that kind of thing. And
this is awful.
Yes. Yeah.
this is bad to look at.
Yeah. No. Like, but like, it's interesting, but a lot of it is like unpleasant to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's worth checking out if you're a fan of weird animation stuff. We'll probably come back to him at some point. But the Twitter thing to look for is Necrotherium with a K for Necro. And Felix Colgrave's a fan, so that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Yeah, so that is the very rambly kind of Flash R. So I got a couple comments.
Okay. Sure.
I'm going to start off, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's
because
absolutely
I'm starting off with Skate4L, which I believe means Skate for Life.
Yeah.
In 2011, said, this was the most randomest thing ever. Such different styles of art. My mind was blown away. There are a lot of things going on in Squaresville. You know, there are some comedy skits, there are just weird visual things.
Yeah, yeah. Some guy is here in 2009.
Oh, some guy is here? You better
finally.
You better let him in then.
Okay. He says, wow, I guess a lot can happen when a guy gets up in the morning.
Yeah.
Which...
Oh, we didn't even mention, yeah, that's the framing device.
Yes.
It starts when just a square person is woken by his alarm clock, and it ends with him going back to bed.
I mean, the comment's not wrong. A lot can happen when a guy gets up in the morning.
That's true.
Yeah.
XX Dark Torment XX. Which
oh,
is
good.
A sublime
that's so
username.
Good. Love it.
In the day this came out, September 16th, 2006, said, totally awesome. This is great. Random as hell, but great. And this is back when random was just a catch-all term. Which
yeah,
meant
for
anything strange or avant-garde or deliberately
yeah.
silly.
Yeah.
Or... but yeah, you know, awesome, random as hell. I think that's fair.
Okay.
And
and
finally, I've got this last one here, which is by Bunny Clock.
Bunny Clock, except in September of 2006, said, "Pool closed due to AIDS. There are no AIDS in Habbo, only pixels."
To which Ezekiel Spacey Lizard replied, "Pools closed due to stingrays." So I picked this little comment thing, and you look upset.
I am very upset
because
by this.
This is like 2006.txt.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
This is because not only do we have the increasingly tired reference to the then current 4chan raid on Habbo Hotel.
Yeah.
Check your history books, fans. but also we have a reference to the untimely death of the crocodile hunter Steve Irwin, who was killed by a stingray
in 2006.
Yeah. It's It's a horrible couple of comments.
Yeah.
But also, that was the background radiation.
That was it.
Of being online in 2006.
It was, haha, 4chan did this thing where everyone dressed up as an Afro black guy, and it definitely wasn't racist, and blocked entrance to the pool on Habbo Hotel. Also, Steve Irwin died.
Yeah, and that's just the scratching the surface.
That's just scratching the fucking surface.
So what have you dug up for us next, Alex? I believe we're going even further back in time.
We're going even further back than 2006. We're going all the way back to 2002 with Super Console Wars.
Super Console Wars. Right, here we go.
I know you downloaded those around.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm part of the Game Imperial Senate on a Game Council mission to save Galadriel.
You are the part of the mascot Alliance and the traitor. Take her away.
Oh no!
That was so much. There's so much. Oh my fucking god. Okay.
You looked like you
have to get this thought out, right? Because if I don't get this thought out, I'm going to fucking die.
Okay.
I fucking love that this is somehow some prophetic vision from the past into the future of Mario going around demanding to know who downloaded Nintendo ROM.
Oh.
That was...
Nintendo as the evil empire.
Yeah.
So this is part one.
Yeah.
We will be exploring the rest later.
Yeah.
Do not worry.
Don't worry.
That's on our flipping list, because, oh, wow. So, one thing I don't get, okay, and forgive me for this.
Okay, go on.
Why are... Okay, let me... I'm trying to formulate the question,
okay,
because it feels... It's one of these things that just... I feel it in just the pit of my stomach.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Sure.
Why does the evil Mario Nintendo Empire, Gamepire, rather...
Right, yes.
Why do they drive an Xbox?
Because nothing's bigger than the first Xbox.
Okay, I understand. I understand that the Xbox, canonically, is the largest thing ever created by mankind.
Yes, correct.
But also, it's the only Xbox thing in the whole thing?
I don't know. Maybe.
There's nothing PlayStation-y in it?
Maybe. The GameCube, because it mentions the GameCube.
The GameCube is the Death Star.
It's the Death Star. So obviously they didn't want to use the GameCube as the ship that Mario was... Or, wait, no, isn't he boarding the Xbox as it's an enemy ship?
No.
I'm sure it is.
No, okay.
He gets on the Xbox and demands to know where the plans are.
No, because... What it actually is if you remember the first Star Wars film, the Empire is the big ship chasing the small ship, which is Princess Leia's ship.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
Then the Empire invade the
sure,
Princess
right, right.
Zaya, sorry, because in this one she's Zelda and not Peach, which surprised me.
Yeah, I guess.
And all of her rebel guards are toads, which includes
all make the toad falling down a hole in Mario Kart 64 noise when
it's so good. And for those of you who haven't heard it before, Alex is going to put that exact clip here. Thank you, Alex.
You're welcome.
So just imagine that. Imagine if that replaced the Wilhelm scream in every film.
If I ever somehow managed to get in charge of like editing at any stage of a movie, I would put that fucking shit in there.
Imagine if like, the next was... James Bond. yeah. So this is just Star Wars, but with mostly Nintendo characters.
Yeah.
In the same way that Blue Harvest was just Star Wars with Family Guy characters.
Yeah, I remember that.
Although I believe this came first.
It's
way, way early.
Oh, it's definitely came first. Yeah, it's arguably better.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. It is, however, a lot.
It's a lot.
It's
so good, though.
So, I wrote a few things down
okay.
that I enjoyed.
Opinion.
One thing that you mentioned is the MIDI soundtrack.
The MIDIs. The fucking MIDI guitars are so good. I love MIDI guitars with my life.
Yep, they are a delight. Also, take a shot every time someone says the word game. Because you will be...
Die.
You'll be at least pretty tipsy by the end of it. What else? in the opening crawl, it says... Sorry. Sorry. Okay. In the opening crawl, it says that the rebels will, quote, restore freedom to the gamers. And I love that clause. It's wonderful. What else? Oh, before the cartoon even starts, we have a preloader.
Oh yeah!
Way!
Yay!
So, the preloader is Bill G versus Mozilla, because it's Bill Gates of Microsoft,
yeah,
versus Mozilla, which in 2006 was like a plucky up and comer in the world of, you know, like if you installed Firefox instead of Windows Explorer, then you were like a cool open source rebel.
Yeah. So I don't know if I've told the story on the podcast before.
Okay.
But it's related to this. In around about like 2006, I tried to convince my dad that he should download Mozilla Firefox because it was better and faster than Internet Explorer, which it was at the time.
It's true.
And he refused outright and said it could be a virus.
Oh.
And you should only trust official Microsoft license products.
That is classic dad
It really is.
That is superb dad-ing. I tried a similar thing with my family computer and they weren't having it.
I was like, but everyone online says it's better. And he's like, we're going to jump off a cliff if everyone online told you to do so. I was like, I guess not, Dad.
Alex's dad, if you're listening, please write in. We'd love to have you on.
I'm sure if he remembers that now, he'd look back on that and kind of chuckle to himself.
Why, is he now like a full Linux convert or something?
No, but he does use Google Chrome like a normal person. So.
Ah, yes. Yeah, gosh, what a world we live in.
What a world.
Now that Google's the big evil corporation and Microsoft is kind of retro.
Yeah, it kind of is, yeah.
Nationalize Google.
Oh, right, yeah. Nationalize Google, yeah.
Nationalize Google.
Nationalize Greggs also.
Nationalize Greggs and Google. Combine them into one massive government ministry of Wi-Fi and food.
You can get a broadband upgrade and a sausage roll.
And what more does any right-thinking Briton need?
That's it, really. If that was Theresa May's plan B for Brexit, I'd be like, yeah, fine, sure.
I still haven't had a Greg's vegan sausage roll.
Me either.
Every time I go to Greg's, or even past Greg's, there is a sign that says, we don't have any vegan sausage rolls left. Getting to feel like, when I do eventually have one, it'll be hyped up so much that it's just going to be okay.
But even if it's okay, you can be happy in the knowledge that you've done something that really pissed off Piers Morgan.
Oh, I do that every fucking day I wake up, I'm pissing off Piers Morgan.
Same.
Nationalized Piers Morgan.
Let's not.
One thing I really enjoyed is that GCPU has the classic bad English accent that you would expect from a cartoon made by Americans.
It's not terrible, though.
Oh, it's not good.
It's not good, but it wasn't horribly offensive to me.
Okay, fair enough.
I guess.
We'll agree to disagree.
Fair enough.
I found it really grating and a stain on the heritage of Anthony Daniels.
I guess, because of everything else that was happening, I wasn't paying that much attention.
No, that's true. There's always something going on in this cartoon. Like, it's never boring, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
And like it's this great like abridged version of the Star Wars film.
Yeah.
Like I like when like we don't need the scene where Lukiji Pipewalker, as the credits inform us, goes to pick up the droids. Because in this version he just says, I want those, and then he pisses off.
But the Vectrex is there.
Okay, it's not just a Vectrex on its own. Do you remember in the Jawa ship how there's that one droid who's just like a box with legs?
Yeah.
Who gets like tortured?
Yeah.
I believe that droid is called Gonk and is a fan favorite.
Oh yeah.
So Gonk in this one is a Vectrex. And that made me happy inside.
Gonk is great. Gonk is lovely. I have fond memories of blowing him up over and over again in Star Wars Jedi Knight 2 Jedi Outcast.
Oh. Yeah, like, for a thing about, like, Star Wars and video games, there's been no mention of actual Star Wars video games so far. Maybe that changes in future. Maybe they don't want to acknowledge it. Maybe they don't want the comparison.
Well, they're all non-canon now, anyway.
Oh, gosh, you're right. You're right. Also non-canon now is, So nowadays, the official word of the word of God for Nintendo is that toads are just agender species.
They just
don't seem to reproduce at all.
Yeah.
And that, so it would stand that toads don't have any kind of genitals.
Right, yes.
However, in Super Console Wars Episode 1, Mario, who we haven't mentioned, by the way, Mario is Darth Vader.
Yes.
In like a really over-designed Darth Vader mask.
Darth Vader mask.
That's
yeah.
it. Thank you. And he doesn't like force choke the rebel soldier. He nut crushes the rebel soldier, who says, "Ah, oh, my nuts." So if you've ever wanted to see Mario like neuter a toad, then please seek help. It is absolute pandering and absolute stupid fan service.
But it's fucking great.
I couldn't stop smiling.
Down to the fucking the two angry sons of Nintendo.
I was gonna say, yeah, Nintendo, which is just World 2 from Mario 2.
Mario
it's got
3.
Two angry sons.
Yeah,
and it's
just
it's
like Tatooine from Star Wars,
like where the two angry sons appear and it starts playing like Luke's theme. In MIDI version,
yeah,
I was like,
great.
"Oh, there's something stirring inside me, and I don't know if I like it, but I'm gonna give into it." And of course, the last thing I wrote is that Luke E.G. is he's a humble pipe farmer.
Yeah,
and he says, and I quote, "I wish I knew who my brother was."
And then he winks at the camera.
Yeah,
yeah,
because it's.
Because he knows.
Yeah, and like, I'm just predicting it now, right?
Right.
Like, I bet you 50p...
Okay.
...that in the climax of Super Console Wars, there'll be a bit where Mario says, "No, I am your brother." And there's going to be like a big no thing.
Probably.
Yeah. So
Okay. That's almost a dead cert.
Yeah, if that doesn't happen, I will give you 50p.
Okay.
It's on record now.
But I'm so sure it's going to happen that I will be shocked if it doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, yeah, so, oh gosh, what is there left to say? Like, the animation. Like, how is the animation for you?
The animation's not bad, but you can kind of see where everything joins together.
Yeah, it's not that slick.
No.
It's not, I mean, obviously we've been spoiled because we just watched Squaresville, which is just, like, wonderfully imaginative. And this is a lot more... it's a lot less ambitious in terms of what it's trying to show. But at the same time, like, there's some fun 3D-ish effects going on. And, like, everything looks like you'd expect it to look.
Yeah.
And, you can see the seams and you can see the tweens and all that. But
it doesn't take away from the overall charm of the
No, it doesn't. No, like, if anything, for me, it adds a little more charm because it feels a bit more... It gives it more of a naive feel.
Yeah, it feels a bit amateur, but not in like a bad way.
No, it feels more like a fan work.
Yeah, definitely.
I believe that you've got some interesting things to tell us about.
I do, in fact, because it is now time for our second Flash. Super Console Wars. It was made by Nate Craddock, also known as Avant Pop. He joined Newgrounds in 2001. His first submission in June that year was Sport Babe TV the Cartoon, in which the sports babes contend with a horny, spelt with an E, scheming monkey. According to his Newgrounds profile, he is now 43. So let's just let that sink in for a moment.
Well, but at the time, like, what, 2001, he would have been 25.
Old enough to know better.
Wow. Okay, apparently, look out. She's coming for you.
So the animation itself, it was uploaded in 2002. It won Weekly User's Choice and daily feature in the month of April when it was released.
Yeah, and it's got like almost 500,000 views since it came out.
So there's also a website link on the profile that leads to worldofnate.com, which for some reason says electronic cigarette brands, which I'm not quite sure why it says that, because, I mean, I think, forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think electronic cigarettes have been a fairly recent thing.
No, this is definitely a site that's been squatted.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right.
Because if you click through to the only blog post, it says, Happy and Free at the World of Nate, and there's a stock anime image.
So, other than that, so, yeah, the website is dead, other than that, except... This is a big except, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, he has a new YouTube show, which he's called I Don't Know What I'm Doing, which he just updated a month ago.
Ooh.
Where he talks about slightly old, like, slightly obscure electronics such as the VIC-20 and the Vectrex.
Nice.
Yeah. So, maybe just a little bit more impressive than that is that he was... senior programmer analyst for Princess at Sea, an onboard chat feature with multilingual support, which was deployed on all 17 Princess cruise liners on the fleet's 50th anniversary, which is used by over 300,000 guests a year.
Wow. I never thought about, like, how that would be a job that someone would need to do, but yeah, that make... Wow, okay.
Also, he delivered applications and processes for the culinary teams, decreasing food costs by $3 million for Princess Cruises.
Are you just reading from his CV? No,
this just came from LinkedIn, yeah.
Yeah, that's... Well, damn. Go Nate.
So, the guy who made Super Console Wars, he, if you've ever been on a Princess cruise liner, he's responsible for the onboard chat feature.
Which is pretty cool.
Which is pretty neat. It's so, pretty neato. And he's now making his YouTube channel called I Don't Know What I'm Doing, which is incredibly relatable. And the reason I went and looked this up is because I watched the first most recent episode of I Don't Know What I'm Doing, where he says, I didn't know what I was doing when I made Super Console Wars. I don't know what I was doing when I made this, like, Star Trek app about a decade ago. And then he went, and I didn't know what I was doing when I made the onboard Princess Cruise Liner app. And I was like, what? I went and looked it up.
That's so, really neat.
Yeah, that's what Nate Craddock's been up to since Super Console Wars Part 1 and 2.
That's really cool.
Were published.
I should mention that the last post on his Newgrounds page is from 2009.
Yeah.
In which... he promotes his friend Kyle Newman's film Fanboys, which is a road trip buddy comedy about Star Wars fans driving to Skywalker Ranch to sneak in and steal the test print of The Phantom Menace.
That's like a cult classic, isn't it, that movie?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So, small world.
Wow, yeah.
Let's see. So we got some comments to round things out, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start off, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Because, Lazy Snot, when this came out, 2002, said, beautiful! Yes.
That was all he said.
That's all he said.
All he had to say.
Yeah.
Which is, it's succinct, gets to the point.
Yeah.
The less you know he likes it.
I want that on my shirt.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be a good shirt.
Beautiful, yes.
But you'd want it in, like, Comic Sans.
Only the yes.
Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah. Unknown 123, same day, said, great, this is really good. All of the Mario sounds are in this movie, and it is really well drawn.
I mean, yeah, it looks
all
good.
All of the Mario sounds
are in the movie.
We're in the movie.
I do like how all of the Stormtroopers who... Okay, the Stormtroopers, are they meant to be Mario Brothers as well, or do they just have the same shape as Luigi and talk with a vague Italian accent?
Probably just the second one.
Hmm.
All the Stormtroopers... looked and talked the same in the episode 4.
Yeah, but they didn't talk like James Earl Jones.
That's true.
They just sounded generic American. And, you know, like, they didn't have his...
I don't know. Maybe we'll find out in part 2.
You're right. Maybe we will. Let's see. Neo Boy, spelled N3O B-O-1. So, N30 B-O-1. on the same day in 2002 said, "Vote 5! Because anybody who doesn't vote 5 for this deserves to die! I don't see how anybody could not admire this great work unless they have an armadillo up their ass."
You can see why I picked that one.
Oh, that one sneaks up on you, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah, and also, like, there's just the classic Newgrounds discourse of, if you don't like this, then you deserve death.
Yes.
I'm sending the police to your house right now, and they're going to look through your Newgrounds history.
If you haven't voted 5, so help you.
Oh, dear. That's a weird... Because nowadays, when, like, weird, intense fans of something say that, they mean it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's weird that things have accelerated to that level.
Like you said, accelerando universe.
Right, and finally we've got... Oh, that's a truly beautiful...
666 said, "Oh shit, son, awesome. Kick-ass voices. Oh, watch it. Now. Now I said, oh, and happy shit day to all. Peace."
Again, something I want on the shirt.
Yeah.
Just happy shit day to all. Peace. And I just want to highlight how Necrohawk has spelled their own handle, which is capital N-E-C, capital Rho.
Yeah.
Hawk.
Oh, but the A is a capital.
Yeah, the A and the K are capitals, and then 666. So it's really just a mess of coolness.
Yeah.
Because, like, Necro, oh yeah, that sounds cool.
Oh, yeah.
Hawk, yeah, oh. Hawks are cool, yeah.
And 666, yeah.
You know,
edgy.
For Satan.
Oh.
Yeah.
And then he said...
"Oh, shit, son.
Happy shit day to all."
And to all the good shit.
We need to remember that one for this year's Christmas episode.
Merry shit day to all.
Shitmas.
Oh gosh! Wow, we're running long for just
two cartoons.
We don't have that much of a mailbag to get through today. We have been receiving your messages, and you have been very kind. And if you would like to participate, we have an audience prompt I'm going to send out, which is: send us your favorite Star Wars parodies or Star Wars parody stories.
Uh-huh.
And we'll see if we can collate them and share them with the crew. Because share them with the crew.
That's me and you.
We are the crew.
We are all of the crew.
We're the crew. Nice.
Unless there's like someone else working on this that I don't know about.
No, we can't afford that.
Okay.
But yeah, so like, just tell us your cool Star Wars stories. And if you yourself have been involved in any kind of amusing parody stuff. Because, like, we've got some more Star Wars things in the hopper.
Yes.
Raring to go. We'll probably end up doing, like, a Star Warsy special of some kind that will be agony, but in a good way.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, send us your Star Wars stories.
Send us your Star Wars
Like stories. Solo, a Star Wars story.
I have it, and I haven't watched it. I've heard mixed things.
You have.
Yes. Send us your Star Wars stories. Tell us about your favorite Star Wars character and why is it Kyle Katarn?
Yeah, you can tell us at our email address, which is flashinthepancast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, that's flashinthepancast@gmail.com.
Good, thank you.
Yeah.
You're possessed by text-to-speech there for a second.
John Madden.
Football. Ayo. Welcome to Team Fortress 2.
And if you want to tell us about Team Fortress 2, then you can find us on... You can find Alex on Twitter at
Dex01.
That's D-E-X-0-1.
I am on Bandcamp, alexvalentine.bandcamp.com. And youtube.com/VNDLP. I put a new video on there. I said I was gonna.
It's got cowboys in it.
It's cowboys in it.
Cowboys and glitches.
Yep. That's
and
yeah,
cowboy glitches.
That's an accurate description of what it is.
And you can find me on Twitter at Gertrude Perkins. That's Gertrude P-R-K-N-S. You can find the show's Twitter at Ash? No, you can't. You can find us at Flash IT Pancast. That's Flash It Pancast. Or Flash It Pancast. Or Flashit Pancast, if you're feeling like a... No?
No, sorry. You just reminded me of the Amazon hashtag, which was for the Grand Tour, which was hashtag Amazon's hit car show, except it doesn't read like that. It reads like Amazon shit car show.
I'm sure that was deliberate. I guarantee that was deliberate.
It also reminds me of Sue's anal bum party. there's a story there which we do not have time to go into.
Oh dear, Sue's anal bum party. Anyway, and you can find links to all of our previous episodes as well as the cartoons we talked about on our website, which is flashinthepancast.com, where you can find all the old episodes as well, and YouTube links if you're watching on your phone. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, that'll be good. Yeah,
super. Gosh, what a slipshod episode this has been. I hope you've stuck with us to the end. That would be kind of you.
That would be nice.
Yeah, thanks. Hopefully we'll get you next time as well.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah. We should sign off.
We should.
Yeah, so until next time, I've been Tom.
I've been Alex.
And I would like to return this microwave and this potato.
Blam this piece of crap.